enlightened beings do not experience per se. They do not see something and like it and feel attached. And from attachment, create grasping. From grasping, create different mental states of aversion or liking, and then engaging in an act, and then being stuck in the act, and then being overwhelmed by the act, and then being overwhelmed by the habituations of the act, and then further being caught up in the act and creating karmas, and then doing it over and over again. So therefore, a enlightened being does not experience positive or negative from a deluded mind. When we experience things from a deluded mind, we actually experience, and the experience can be positive or negative, and either it's positive or negative, grasping comes. For something negative, a grasping to eliminate, and then the actions that follow, and then the karma that follows, and then the repeat of that action, and the habituation, and all the tumultuous states of mind that follow that action come, and then we're stuck, and we're kind of in a quicksand. When we see something we like and we grasp, same thing happens, except we desire it. So enlightened beings definitely do not experience or grasp, they perceive. When they perceive, it is without attachment, because the deluded mind, which arises from the I consciousness or the I grasping, is not present. Part one. Part two, for your wonderful and very well thought out question. Therefore, an enlightened being is a permanent state. It is not a state to achieve. It is not a state to grasp. It is not a state to be grasped. It is not a state to be looked for. It is a state within us. So it is not achieving it. It is finding it, for lack of a better word. It is finding that enlightened state. So when we find that enlightened state, to be in that enlightened state, we must eliminate the space that occupies it, which is grasping, onto a non-existing I, to hatred that arises from that I, desire, fears, attachments, delusions, sensory perceptions, sensory graspings. All of that arises from that non-existent I. Because, for example, if we remove someone's eyes, ears, and nose, and we kind of nullify their nervous system, they won't have their five perceptions. They can't taste and touch. You know, they can't see. They can't hear. So therefore, when someone is bereft or without their five senses, they can still perceive. So therefore, the sensory perceptions are also something that arises from the non-existent I. How does sensory perceptions arise from a non-existent I? Because the non-existent I has an existence of I, and that denotes grasping. That grasping manifests in the sensory perceptions of I want this, I smell this, I hear this, I touch this, I desire this, I want this. So when we have that grasping, it rehabituates ourselves. Part two. Part three. When we have that grasping, it rehabituates ourselves over and over and over and over until a point where we cannot even hear, see, perceive, understand, or listen to anyone or anything, Dharma, a monk, a teacher, a friend, wisdom. We cannot hear anyone or perceive anyone teaching us otherwise. In fact, we are so caught up in our delusions. We are so caught up in our graspings. We are so caught up in our self perceived I and all that arises from it, which is grasping, sensory perception, attachments, anger, and hatred. We're so caught up in it. If we're told anything else, we will see that person or that doctrine as an enemy. We'll see that as someone that disrupts, disturbs, and destroys our peace of mind, our false peace of mind. Therefore, we wish to escape from the Dharma. We wish to escape from the truth. Dharma and whatever we call the truth. We wish to escape that truth. We wish to escape that meaning, that realization, that understanding, and the institution, and the people, and the doctrine, and everything that has to do with it, because it threatens our so-called false peace of mind. Why does it threaten our so-called peace of mind? Because the peace of mind that we have is being enraptured, and caught up in our habituations, caught up in our sensory perceptions, caught up in our graspings, caught up in our good or bad, caught up in our prejudices. And that all arises from the self-grasping eye. So when you do that one life, after two life, after three life, it's very difficult to escape. Hence the turtle, a blind turtle coming up 100 years and having a ring slip through its neck is a very good analogy of our samsaric situation. And once we get Dharma, we have a chance to become better. We should never, ever let it go and go back to it. Part 4, hence the analogy of the blind turtle coming up and having a ring go through his neck is the rarity of us hearing the teachings, hearing the Dharma, hearing the truth. Remember, the Dharma is manifested as truth, not in the sense that Buddhist Dharma is the ultimate truth, but Buddha taught the ultimate truth. So in his teachings, you have the ultimate truth. There is possibility there are other teachers and other masters and other manifestations of the truth that may come under different labels, different people, different ideas, different types of outer appearances, different dimensions, different planets. It's possible. But right now, we have the Buddha manifesting as the Buddha, and the Buddha speaking the universal truth. Again, I'd like to reiterate, this truth of self-grasping mind, the non-existent I that creates the self-grasping mind that blinds us, is not something Buddha made up or something that is indigenous of Buddha's perception. It is something that exists, and because a Buddha became a Buddha, by process of eliminating it, he is able or she is able to perceive it and to expound it and to share with us. Therefore, when we come across such a rare doctrine, we should do everything we can and fight all the heavy torrential current of the river to go upriver instead of downriver, to understand, practice, and to put it into our minds, because the chance is absolutely, absolutely, absolutely rare. And it will not come again easily due to the explanation I just gave. Right? I hope this helps a little bit. Thank you very much. Sarva Mangalam. All auspiciousness to you. Samrimache.